Everybody, welcome back to episode 61 of the Peace and Liberty Podcast. I'm joined by Peter Churchman. He's a libertarian for the 17th District of Texas. He's a truck driver, blue-collar kind of guy. He's got two kids. Thank you so much for coming on, Peter.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate being on.
So I guess tell us a little about yourself.
Well, you know, last summer, we had a Republican takeover of the White House and Congress, and I naively thought they would do something about government spending, and I was totally wrong. They went completely the opposite way and expanded government more than it had ever been, which I guess they do every year. And I just got fed up with it. So I decided rather than sitting on my couch and shaking my fist in anger, I would run for office. And here I am.
Well, that's a pretty brave decision to do. I mean, what made you want to do that? Because you said you don't really have any political experience.
Well, you know, I follow politics, as most in our party do. And I do have the problem of, you know, I don't really want to be a congressman. That sounds like a horrible occupation. But at this point, we have to do something, even if it's wrong, because we're going to lose our country due to our fiscal woes sooner rather than later. I think the problem is much more grave than everybody generally thinks about it. And seems like people don't really talk about the harm that the inflation is caused by printing money with no end. And I think a large part of the cryptocurrency market is a free market response to the devaluation of the dollar. I think that is why it has caught fire really just in the last year and started to gain some actual value.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm in cryptocurrency myself. I've been involved since like January 2017. I agree. It's free market money. It's I guess lately Bitcoin hasn't been doing that well, but I think in general, it's more about cryptocurrency. It's more about free market money, like having a system where people can buy and trade with each other and not have a third party. So I definitely agree. But man,
I would like to point out, if you bought Bitcoin 10 years ago, it's doing extremely well. You're like in retirement stage now. So when you look at it from where it was 6 months ago, you know, it's been up and it's been down. But over a long period, it's a spectacular investment. I don't know what else could compare to it.
I totally agree.
It went from nothing to infinity of nothing. So,
and of course, there's that one story where some guy spent like 10,000 Bitcoins and bought two pizzas. And I think at that pizza restaurant, they have the plaque on the wall, you know, so, but it's funny. But anyways, I guess tell us a little about the politics of Texas, because I think in general, Texas is thought of, you know, more forgiving of conservative views or libertarian views or whatever. So what's the political life like in Texas?
Well, I live in Travis County, which is where Austin is. It is the highest libertarian voting county in the country, percentage-wise. Wow. We still don't win elections in Travis County, but it's a good start. In Texas, it's a red state. There are the bastions of blue in the big cities, Austin, Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio, but the bulk of the state is diehard conservative. And I don't think the Republican Party is, they're maybe socially conservative. I don't really understand what that means. I think that means the government should leave you alone. But they're certainly not fiscally conservative. We get a third of our budget from the federal government. And our federal government, as everybody knows, just keeps spending like there is no end in sight. So the Republican Party is going to win in Texas for the foreseeable future. And it baffled me. Governor Abbott the other day advocated for gun control, which you would think being such a red state would not go over well. But
he
hasn't got any pushback on that. I spoke at a rally a couple weeks ago with some activists, and they weren't happy there. Mark Tippetts, our libertarian candidate for governor, was also there. And while we got a warm reception, I'm not sure that those people are ready yet to vote for the Libertarian Party. Perhaps if the Republican Party tramples on their rights a little bit more, then they will make the switch. I don't know where their breaking point is.
What are taxes like in Texas right now, where you live?
Texas loves taxes. We don't have a state income tax. That doesn't mean we're not taxed. Our property taxes are going through the roof right now. It used to be the state would pay close to half of the school cost. It's down to 38%. Therefore, property taxes have filled the gap. Whether you believe in government schools or not, we still have to pay the tax, and they are just growing incrementally high. Also, we have a driver surcharge program now, where if you get a ticket, you pay the fine, and then you have to pay an additional surcharge to the state. So you get fined twice. It is a bit of double jeopardy. And while Texas is still a good state for taxes, it seems every election cycle, especially the Libertarian Party, is advocating against not voting for a new tax raise. And sadly, we have not won them all. We lose quite a few of those, and taxes go up on people, and they give the government just a little bit more control over us.
Yeah, it's a huge shame. Well, what has your success been like campaigning so far? Because give us a little background. When did you start campaigning? When did you get involved in the political process?
I started last summer. I started in earnest in November. During the primary season, I did all the candidate forum, dog and pony shows. I actually organized a debate, two debates that I participated in. Lately, my focus has been on writing my weekly column. Right now, in Leon County, which is a tiny county, I have a weekly column in two newspapers, and in some of the other counties in my district, I have talked with the news media there, and I'm working on continuing to get that out. When you run third party, you're generally not well financed. There are very few exceptions. I am not one of those exceptions. I do accept donations at churchmanfortexas.com. But only up to $100, because I think money is a problem in politics. So most of my campaign is financed by myself, and I'm just a truck driver. I'm not a wealthy man. But you have to work with what you got, and my campaign is growing. I am starting to receive donations, and I'm starting to receive the monthly donations, which is huge for me. I am hoping to get several billboards up in the more rural and more affordable parts of our district towards the end of the campaign. And I have found that going to gun shows is a wonderful outlet where you get to meet hundreds of people who like guns and talk to them about gun regulation. And I'm big with the Fully Informed Juries Association, and I talk to them about that. So
I think the Republican Party is pressured a lot to cave into some kind of gun control, if any at all. They're always pressured toward that direction to cave in on their supposed principles.
You know, that is the way it's happened. However, people like Justin Amash and Thomas Massey, who have stand true to the principles, are incredibly popular. And I don't know, especially on the Second Amendment, why the Republican Party doesn't take a hardline stance. Thankfully, there is a third party, the fastest growing party, that does have a hardline stance on gun control, with the exception of Governor Weld.
Yeah. Well, I guess let's back up a little bit. How did you become a libertarian?
You know, I guess I've always been a libertarian. When I started running for office and looking into how to do that, I found out that libertarians go to monthly county business meetings. I had no idea that occurred, and I think a lot of people don't. In Texas, we're trying to organize our state by precincts, which is a lofty goal. We don't even have all of the counties affiliated in Texas, even though we're one of the largest parties, libertarian parties in the United States. And I think we need to get more organized. The problem with organizing libertarians is we don't like to be controlled. We don't like to be ruled. It's kind of like trying to push spaghetti. But, you know, if we want to take a partyarchy view of how to get less government, we have to become more organized. So I found the Travis County business meeting. I went there and you know, I was among my fellows, and we went from there, and I became a actual registered libertarian. In Texas, you don't register with a party. It depends on which primary you vote in, whether you are a Democrat or a Republican. And then the libertarian precinct conventions are the week after the primaries, and we get no media coverage at all. And excuse me. And I don't think many people know about it.
I think that's always been the goal of the media, is just to kind of block us out, just make it look like we don't even exist, whether it's libertarianism or Austrian economics. I was talking with a friend yesterday about Austrian economics, and I don't know if you're, I'm sure you're aware of what Austrian economics is, but for example, like Murray Rothbard, when he was going to college in the 40s and 50s, you came out with a graduate degree not even having heard of Austrian economics. It's the same thing with libertarianism, that they would just rather people not talk about us, because once people do start looking into it, it becomes really, really addictive to, you know, keep learning and finding about new things. So what I found out about like Murray Rothbard and people like that, like I was just done. Like there were no more arguments left.
Well, it's deeper than that. I went to the League of Women Voters, who is a nonpartisan group, and they put out a voter guide before the primary. And I asked them, I was like, hey, you know, y'all include libertarians. I'm like, well, that would confuse people. And I don't think it would at all, especially if people were confused and they showed up, they would either just not vote in the Democrat or Republican primary, or they would. But by not listing in the League of Women Voters Guide, which is hugely popular and a lot of people look to it, we don't get the support that we need now, the grassroots support from far and wide in the district. They generally do include us in the one that comes out before November, but gathering support a few weeks before the election, while that's wonderful and I welcome it, we need more to advance.
Yeah, I think the honest truth, there's a lot of people that run for local offices every election. And I think people more or less, they look at the yard signs and they look to one that says Democrat or Republican. They don't care about the person. They don't care about the laws being passed. They just care, you know, are they supporting my Republican or Democratic Party? And, you know, going back to what you said, yeah, there is the conflation that why would we put libertarian on the ticket? That's just the same thing as a Republican, right? And in reality, I like the way Walter Block describes it, that libertarianism, if you have, you know, Democrats and Republicans here, libertarians is like a third part of the triangle. It's neither Republican nor Democrat. So I do hate that conflation. There's also been many other sleazy tactics, such as saying that if you're libertarian, you're alt-right automatically, or you're a Nazi, or whatever. I'm sure you've heard all this stuff that being thrown at us the past few years. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, all these conflated things. I liked Gary Johnson for many things, but he was pretty weak on some issues. And, you know, it's just
no one's perfect.
No one's perfect, but it's just like, what are we going to do about this? So I'm pretty hopeful for the future. I think libertarianism is growing, but man, oh man, it would be great to really have the feeling of those Ron Paul revolution days where you could meet random libertarians in the street during 2008, 2009. Now it's like, sure, you got to search for each other again.
The search is hard. But you know, the good thing is you don't take any flack if you're not flying over the target. So we do have enough of a present that at least people are wary of us. Hopefully, they will be more wary with each successive year. I don't believe I'm going to win my race this year. I think if I do really good, I might get 8% of the vote.
Yeah.
But it is another step forward to win eventually. A libertarian can win this district. In 2020, we have something huge in Texas. And I don't know why the Republicans passed it, because when you speak of Texas government, you don't talk about Democrats. But in 2020, there's going to be no straight ticket party voting in Texas, which I think is going to have the percentage totals of libertarian candidates go by leaps and bounds beyond historical averages.
Yeah, and I mean, look at what Gary Johnson pulled last time. I think he got like 3.something%. Like, relatively, that is a lot. But yeah, man, it would be great to see libertarians pulling like 10%, because once we can get to that point, it's just kind of a domino effect, right? Like, people are going to be Googling libertarianism, and hopefully they don't get brought to like a site that's trashing libertarianism. Hopefully Google helps that a little bit. But I guess We're definitely going to link to, I think you said it was churchmanfortexas.com.
Churchmanfortexas.com. And I've never made a website before, so I spelled out for and I spelled out Texas.
that's totally reasonable. I think that'll probably be easier to find for people. So we're going to link to churchmanfortexas.com so people can find you. I guess kind of my last question for you to wrap up here is, what issues are, you know, you don't think you're going to get elected, but say you for sure could get elected and you knew that. What would the issues be that you would focus on primarily?
One, federal spending. I'm running for federal office. I believe the government grows in direct proportion with how much it spends. I think if the government spends less, by default, it becomes smaller. Further than that, we have a huge debt problem, a debt problem that I think in just a decade could cause real hardships among the people. And no one seems to be talking about it, but I certainly do. And so I would do anything to curb federal spending. Libertarians, we love to talk about, well, we're going to cut this department and that department, and they're unconstitutional and they're not needed. And all those things are true. But those are the end goals. We need to start with trimming where we can, in any way we can, whether it be the DEA or just some small thing in the science budget. So that would be my one issue.
That's awesome, Peter. I'll be honest. I consider myself an anarchist, meaning, you know, my end goal is no government, no income tax. But I completely agree with what you're saying, that we need to have our goals. We need to have clear goals. We need to be able to ask ourselves, where are we actually headed? And it would just be great if we could get a libertarian in like Ron Paul, who, you know, they get rid of one law and they don't add another. That's progress. If you're getting rid of a law and adding two, I consider that a net loss. You need to get rid of laws and don't add new ones. So I think you're going to say something else. Go ahead.
We have had success lately. They have all been Republicans that have joined the Libertarian Party, as I'm sure you know. But Laura Epke, Caleb Dreyer, and Brandon Finney in New Hampshire and Kansas are running for re-election, and I encourage everybody to go to their websites. I don't know them off the top of my head, and donate them. Those, if they can win re-election with an L by their name, that is going to be huge for the party as a whole. It will start to knock down the floodgates. So I know Brandon and Caleb personally. They came to the Texas convention, and I met Laura briefly. But they're all good people, and they're all as libertarian as anyone would want them to be. So support them.
Absolutely. Definitely get out and support them. You know, obviously, voluntary contributions are how people like me and Peter get by. So donate to him, donate to me, donate to everyone if you can. Peter, it was such an awesome time talking to you today, and I wish you all the best in your race.
Likewise. Thank you.